Now I want to just bring you a little, just a little thought here. It won't be long because I want to talk about some other things before we go. And some of us, or a few of us, we're going to take Brother Mike's truck and actually take a load tonight. We got a lot to do. We'll never get it all done if we don't. So we'll be going over there right after church tonight. We need a lifeguard for camp. If anybody can lifeguard, I mean, I don't care if you can or not, but all you need is a certificate. You can be crippled for all I care. If anybody's got one, we'd like to know about it. They want us to have one. Any of us could pull somebody out, but they want a certified lifeguard. So if anybody is or can, please let me know. If you don't, we'll probably make us hire one down there. Let me know about that. And a bunch of other stuff that I'll be mentioning here in just a minute. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read a verse here. I used to preach on long, long time ago, but not like this. I'm just going to talk about our 7 years here just for a few minutes tonight and just give you like a little testimony. Look at 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10. Now, the word delivers in this verse 3 times. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Good.
All right, look at the first part. Delivered, past. He delivered us, past. And then it says, he doth deliver. Doth means present.
Amen.
Doth is doeth, is does, like does right now, doth. He doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet, future. Deliver us. That's what I want to talk about just for a minute tonight. And it's very simple. The Lord delivered us in the past. He is delivering us right now. He will deliver us tomorrow, next week, next month. So it's in three tenses tonight. The Lord hath delivered us. He hath, he is, he will. Being saved is like that. You know, being saved, you have been saved, you are being saved, you will be saved. It's a continual thing. And so tonight, I want us to think about the past. For some of you that hadn't been here very long, some of this past won't mean a lot to you, but for others it will. When he was talking a minute ago, I looked up, Brother Tim's a painter, you know, and him and Miss Tammy and Roy and Brock, a bunch of them, they've been over painting for 2 months off and on. I mean to tell you, they've been doing some painting. You'll see it when you go inside and out. Inside and out. It's like a totally new place. And they painted these old beams in here. Them old beams there was red. That old dark, ugly red that they make them send them out in. And they painted these, and I'll never forget, these lights wasn't straight, wasn't made like this. They were just straight right across here. So this one would have been about right here. So I just had the idea one day. I thought, let's just pull them things up and it'll look like, more like a church. And I think Brother Fred did that, didn't you, Brother Fred? I can't remember. Joe, some of y'all guys just pulled them up with these chains, just shorten the chains, and it made it look like a church in here. And we've done a bunch of stuff like that I'll not talk about. Probably you don't really care about. But to them, that was a lot. But the way it got started was I'd been praying what God wanted me to do, as you know, during that time. And I had that offer. My kin folks wanted me to come to West Virginia and start a church. I had a group down in Georgia wanted me to come down there and take a church. Somebody in Florida, somebody down near Florence toward Myrtle Beach. I had people say, man, if you'll just come here, we'll do this, we'll do that. Good friend of mine in Gastonia, Ernie, Brother Ernie, he said, Danny, he said, you need to come to Gaston County. He said, you're on the radio down here. He said, You got thousands of people down here that know you. He said, I'll give you a building, rent in. And I prayed and I said, I can't do it. He said, why? I said, I just can't. I don't know why. I just can't. And I said, I can't drag them girls all the way down there. And I was in a real, real, real fix as to what I should do. I had all kinds of advice. One person said this, another person said that. I went and talked to my pastor, who was about 79 then. He's about 86 now. And he told me, he said, have you got some people behind you? I said, absolutely. He said, well, you better just do what God tells you to. And I said, well, anyway, I was driving up the road one day, and I come up this road. I don't know what I was doing down here, but I come up this road, and I looked up and saw that sign. It looked just like it does now. The other part was gone. and it said for lease, 438-0042. And when I looked up and saw that sign, it was honestly like something went in my heart. I had felt that several times before. And I thought, could this be another? And I thought, maybe I'm just hoping it's, you know, one of them. I said, maybe this. I said, no, no. I had a million reasons why it should, a million reasons why it shouldn't. But I felt that. And that number stuck in my head. I've always been like that. I don't ever forget numbers. Once I know somebody's phone, I remember people's phone numbers from 10 years ago that I ain't even talked to. I don't ever forget numbers for some reason. They just burn in my brain. And I went home and said, 442, whatever it was. And I said, I'm going to go home and call that. As 438-0042. And now the 442 numbers are cell phones. But anyway, I went home and I prayed about it. And I call that number, 438-0042. And the man answered the phone. I said, I'm interested in that building you got down there on Carbon City Road. Can you tell me about it? He said, well, it's this, well, it's that. And he told me how much it was. I said, oh, Lord. I came down here another day, and I peeked in the door back there. I just looked in here, and this was just one big open room. That wall back there was right here. It was at an angle. They'd had a clothing store in here, and it was at an angle. And you could, all this was just empty, nothing on the floor, concrete. And they, you know, just empty wall, no red beams. And I remember I looked in here, and I could see it full of people. I'd felt that before, too. And I said, I could see it full of people. And I just looked at the parking lot, and I said, reckon anybody can park out here? And I said, well, maybe I can park over that. I walked and I prayed and I walked and I prayed and then I talked to him and I said, well, I'd be interested in renting it. He said, I won't rent it. He said, I'll lease it no less than a year. I think he said 2 years. 2 year lease only. I said, I can't do that. Lord, I ain't gonna lease nothing for 2 years. I said, we may not, this thing may flop. I said, I didn't have enough faith, to lease it for 2 years. I said, give me a month and let's see what we can do. I said, there may not be nobody show up. And he said, well, I'm really not interested in leaving. And you know what? I prayed about that thing. And I called Bill again, the owner of the building. And I said, well, here's what I'd like to do. I said, well, I want to rent the building. And I offered him less than what he asked me. And I said, I want the first month free because we ain't got no money. And he said, all right, we'll do it. And I said, amen. And so I talked to some folks, and I called them. They wrote me a letter and said, asked me before I was preaching and everything. I ain't got time to get into all that. But anyway, we rented the building for the first month. We put our money together. We paid the first month's rent, and boy, we put it all together. I saved my money 2 or 3 weeks, and I went and preached revival at Frankie Hunt's church in Ohio. He said, Brother Danny, do it, Brother Danny, do it. He said, we'll be behind you 100%. He said, we'll try to help you any way we can. I said, amen, brother. And you know, one thing led to another, and we started. Well, on that first Sunday, I was very nervous. I'm telling you, but I'll never forget. We had those little, what we call the Fruit Loop chairs that Brother Cade from down in Rock Hill had given to us. And the Fruit Loop chairs are still back there in the Sunday school class, and I think some of them back there. They're those little plastic chairs, and they honestly look like Fruit Loops. They're orange and yellow and just ugly colors. And we have them things sitting back to about right here. So if you was right here, you was on the back row. I mean, some of those Fruit Loop chairs are for little bitty people. I mean, they're about this big and they're about that wide. You should have seen some of these people sitting on them things. Some of them obviously took 2 Fruit Loop chairs and you threw them together. It looks so funny. I mean, somebody sitting up high, somebody sitting down low. We didn't have no chairs up here, and we didn't have no carpet. And Diane Shepherd called me, and she said, how much can you put carpet in that building for? And I said, $2,000. She said, I'll write you a check. And Diane wrote a check and paid for this carpet. And Jason Fuller and his brothers came up here and put it down here. And boy, we thought we was something. when we got carpet. Randy Steele told me, he said, Danny, I got some chairs that you can have. And I went up there and revival preached and came by his church and got these black chairs right here and stacked them up and put them in the back of my 4Runner and then a trailer or something. I don't know how I've got them all here, but we got them all here and put them in here. Just all kind of stuff like that. Well, we started having services. The first person, I remember thinking, Lord, is somebody going to get saved? Sunday morning I preached, nobody got saved. Sunday night I preached, nobody got saved. We had church Wednesday night, nobody got saved. Next Sunday, nobody got saved. Sunday night, nobody got saved. No, it was it second or third Sunday night? I think it was the second Sunday night we had our first person saved. I was getting worried. It had been a Sunday, a Wednesday, and a Sunday morning. And nobody, I said, uh-oh, have I messed up, Lord? Or sure? Well, that night, I showed a little video of Lulu singing. Lulu, remember, used to be on Hee Haw, and she was singing, Failure is Not Final with the Father. And I showed that video, and people was crying. We didn't have just a handful of people. And old Willie from over in Lenore, Willie West, I believe he's sitting over here, hit the altar, and the first soul was saved right here in this building. Well, I said, glory to God. Amen. Somebody done got saved. I mean, I was happy. And boy, we had a great time. I remember we kept having some good services, and I mentioned this morning that we went to camp, you know, we didn't have nowhere to go to camp. And I said, I've been to camp every year since 1985, except for the year 2000, the year we started this church. And then it hit me, we did have a little camp that year. You remember that little camp we had? How many of you was in on that first camp? We had it right here. The church was the church was 1 or 2 months old. 2 months old. I said, we're going to have it right here in our church. The plan was, we was going to let all the girls spend the night in the church one night, and then all the boys spend the night in the church the next night and have a little mini youth camp. Well, I don't know where they come from, but we had the awfulest crowd you ever seen in your life. I don't know how many girls was in here that. I mean, they was running around in here going, wow. I believe that was that first year. What? Was that the first year? Was that 2000? I'm telling you, brother, it was wild in here. I was thinking it was a little bit, it was more than a month. I know it was more than a month old, a few months old. We had these chairs. I remember we had these chairs. And that was like 3 or 4 months old. The church was maybe August, September. But, buddy, I'm telling you what, them girls in here going wild. And I come in here that night, and I said, all right, I'm going home. Y'all be the meanest bunch of wildest girls I've ever seen in my life. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And I believe Miss Sue stayed with them. And I can't remember who else. Miss Helen. And I said, you're all right? They said, boy, I'm telling you, I heard they had a rough night. But I'm telling you, I don't know how rough it was, but I guarantee you it wasn't a drop in the bucket to that next night. Buddy, them boys, I'm telling you, we had a gang of boys in here. I don't know. It seemed like 100, but it was probably 40 boys, and Leaf and them boys had just started coming. Leaf and all them rough boys from Lenore. Old Leaf got saved right here one Sunday morning, right here in this spot, I believe it was. And Sabrina brought him to church. That was back when she was really right with God. No, I'm just kidding. But she brought Leaf to church, and Leaf stood right there and hit the altar and got saved. And I'll never forget Leaf getting saved. And we got them boys out here, and we had a camp one night. I said, all right, boys, we're going to have fun, boy. We're going to have fun. And I thought, you know, boy, we'd have great Bible studies. And, you know, I'd been used to some boys that brought up in church. I had a little sense. And, you know, they knew you had to do something spiritual when you got together. These boys didn't care nothing about no spiritual. I'm telling you, boy, it was run in and out. They were under the store. They was up and down that road. We wound up out there on the bus. They said it was too hot in here. They lived out here. We wound up on the bus at 3 o'clock in the morning. They was out there on top of the bus at 4 in the morning shooting off firecrackers and shooting rockets across the road. And cops come over here. And there's little ones in here crying because they couldn't sleep. Brother Junior, I believe you was in here. Who else was in here besides me? Was it you, Brandon? I know know there's several of us, and I remember when I finally locked that door and wouldn't let them big boys in here. I said, you bunch of heathen, go to jail, do whatever you want. I said something else. I remember we finally laid down here about 5 o'clock in the morning and left his little boy sleep a while. That was a real blessing, I'm telling you. What a spiritual time we had. Amen. We did get into a Bible study. You get them boys, if you ever get them boys started on prophecy and revelation and the Antichrist, sometimes, you know, they'll pick it up. They're interested in stuff like that. And we finally did get into that. They started asking me all kinds of weird questions. We got into a Bible study. But anyway, we had a great time. I'll never forget one Sunday night. I come down the road, pulled off over at Jamestown exit. There was a drunk there. He didn't look that drunk. But he smelled it, though. And when he got in the car, I said, get in. He got in. I said, hey, look, buddy. He said, pretty good. And I said, where are you going? He said, I don't know, down, somewhere Whelm down east somewhere. I said, why don't you go to church with me? He said, all right, I'll go. We still had the Fruit Loop chairs. They come back to about right here. And we had a pretty good crowd on Sunday night. The chairs come about right here. And it was pretty full. Well, I brought that guy in. He put his luggage or bag, whatever, little bag that he had all his stuff in, right outside the door there. And he walked in with him. You can smell him. I'm from here to Kevin. I'm telling you, he walked in and sat down. And I said, now you just sit down here. And I got up and preached. And I can't remember who it was. Who was it that had to sit with him? Are you still here? I forgot who it was. Somebody sat with him, tried to calm him down. And I'm telling this guy, he was talking out during church. And I'd get up here and I'd say something. He'd say, that's right. Like that. And one time, the Lord started blessing. And I was preaching real hard. And I said, saying, and he stood up and went like this. Started blessing himself. That's how, you've heard how a Catholic priest stutters, don't you? He goes like this. And they said, this guy, he got up and he started, and I started preaching, and I said something he didn't like. I don't know what it was, but something I said he didn't agree with. And he said, I don't agree with that. And he cussed out real big and loud right in the middle of the church. And everybody around was saying, no, no. And I can't remember who it was. It must not be here tonight, or you would remember. One of our men sat beside him and said, now, hey, man, you can't be talking like that. Well, he said something I disagreed with. And I said, and finally I had to get him out of here. I said, get him out of here. They took him out there, and when the service was over, I got to looking for him, and he's over here at this guy, the surveyor, next door right here. He's laying on his porch, sound asleep. And I just backed out of there and just left him. I don't know whatever happened to him. I wasn't going to fool with him. No more. But anyway, we had some great times. I'll never forget we had the Carolina Rat Revival. Y'all remember the Carolina Rat Revival? It was about 4 years ago, buddy. We had an office meeting. Never was. I mean, boy, it got good in here. And we had them bales of hay and all that stuff. Somehow or another, out of them bales of hay, some little mice got hatched out of there somehow or another. And there's a little rat running around in here. I mean, there was people shouting, people screaming. About that time, a rat come running out of here. And old Zach Sizemore was preaching. And I think Jason killed one of them, didn't you? I mean, he went over and kicked him over and knocked him into the wall or something and killed one. I mean, the service went on. Bless the Lord. Amen. I've been in a lot of churches that had to dismiss right then. They just kept on shouting, and a rat run out here and seen that preacher and run right back in there. And everybody in front of me went, woo! Like that. And then he run back in. And finally, Zach kicked at him and everything. They got him out of there, and we just went right on. Amen. I tell you what, that was some good services. Amen. I'll tell you a joke, but it might not be good, but it's about a story like that right there. I said these old boys playing a trick on this preacher, and he's a black preacher years ago. And he's out in these big old tabernacle place with these wooden rafters. And these boys went down the road, and they killed a possum, and they killed this possum. And they said, hey, let's play a joke on the preacher. And they took that possum in there, and they put it up on the rafters of the church right above the pulpit. Well, all of them gathered in there that night, big old open air, big tabernacle, and that old preacher boy, he got to going. And you know, the old time black preacher boy, they could get, he got in that, and he got up there in that high, you know, he got in there, and he said, brethren, he said, I know some of you brethren has been out of womenizing. And he said, I know some of you sistren, you've been out of meninizing. And he said, and I'm telling you tonight, he said, what we all need to do is get down on our knees and look up and say, God, what a rat. But that's awful. That's awful. I'll never forget that story. That reminded me of that Carolina Rat Revival. Amen. What a blessing. That was a blessing. I tell you, we've had some good times. Amen. We sure have. We've had some good times. I've been standing out in the parking lot and somebody come by and cuss me and tell me to go you know where. Big deal. That ain't nothing. The Lord, they beat nails through His hand. They crucified the disciples. They killed our forefathers. Little cussing ain't going to hurt us once in a while. I'm glad for what He's done for us in the past. Let me say, our youth rally, we had 120 people saved that weekend. Most people I've ever seen saved anytime, anywhere. And I thank God for it. I ain't got time to talk about all that. But I want to say, let's talk about the present. Let's talk about the present. What's God going to do for us in the present? Now, let me say this. Brother Derek's already hit on it. Many of you wasn't in here. In the present. Why He doth deliver us. You can mark it down. It's summertime. Summertime's the best time to get backslid. It's something about it getting summertime. You want to lay out of church. You want to go loafer off all over creation. You want to do something stupid. And then you have to get right in the fall. It's the easiest time in the year to get backslid. Now, let me say, I guess I'll just say it. Get mad. You know you're backslid when you get mad about every little thing. I've been pastoring 31 years in July. And I know people. And when people get irritable and mad about every little thing, their heart's not right. When your heart gets right, you get easy to get along with. Well, you know, men, when your heart gets right, you're automatically easy to get along with your wife. And same with your wife. You know, when God softens your heart, it's easier to get along with people. But when a person's, I call it being flexible. You've got to be able to bend a little bit. There's a lot of us in here. It's a good crowd on Sunday night. There's a lot of us in here. You've got to be able to be a little flexible. Everything ain't going to be your way. Everything ain't going to be my way. I don't expect it to. It's not that way at school. It's not that way where you work. Does everything go where you want to? Of course not. You just suck it up and deal with it. And go right back the next day. And that's the way we got to do in church. I remember when we was growing up, we used to have these guys that play ball. We'd play softball or baseball. And we'd always have this one guy that had a short temper and would always get mad. Yeah, I never really liked to play ball with somebody that always wanted to lose their temper. Every time, wanted to fight. Always wanted to fight somebody and get mad. I'd just rather not even play if somebody wanted to. Now, you know, once in a blue moon, you get aggravated. But every time you play, you shouldn't get mad enough to fight. And it'd always be this boy saying, all right, you're going to be that way. I'll take my bat and ball and go home. And we'd say, no, we ain't got no other bat and ball. And I'd take it going home. And I always said, the big baby, couldn't be flexible. That's the way it is in church. Listen, there's going to be things that hurt your feelings. There's going to be times you don't get your way. There's going to be times, listen to me. There's going to be times you'll think, why didn't he ask me to do that? Why did he ask them? And you're going to think that I like them better than I like you and some kind of stupid something like that. I've heard of people getting mad at me for stuff that I didn't even know I did. Let me give you an example. And I'm pretty grown up. If I ain't grown up by now, there ain't no hope for me. Amen? Shut up. All right, listen. You don't have to agree with me. Yeah, we're going to fix you when we get over there too, buddy. Some duct tape. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm bigger than him. But anyway, what was I saying? He weighs 98, I weigh 99. But anyway, the preacher had me preach in his church every year in a camp meeting. Now, I'm not a whine box when it comes to place to preach. I got plenty of places to preach, probably more than I need. I preach off as much as a lot of full-time evangelists, and I'm not griping. I thank God for it. I don't ever whine about it. But last year, he didn't even call me or nothing. And it sort of bothered me a little bit. And I started wondering, have I offended him? Did I say something that made him mad? Wonder if he don't like me no more. I'll bet somebody went and told him some gossip about me, and I thought all kinds of things. And about a few months later, when I heard his name, I thought, don't care. Fully on him. And that's what I felt in my face. I sort of got aggravated with him. He's got a right to ask who he wants to come and preach his camp meeting. It ain't none of my business. Amen? He's God's man. He's got a right to follow God. I have no right to question him. And he called me the other day. And he said, Brother Danny, he said, I'm trying to get my camp meeting lined up for this year. Won't you come? He said, I had a lot going on last year, and we didn't even get to have one. And he said, we didn't have camp meeting last year. And I started saying, oh, God. I said, yes, brother, I'd be glad to. Praise God. I've been praying for you. No, I didn't say that. I haven't been praying for you. But you see how the devil can put stuff in your head. The devil can put stuff. You listen? Listen to me. The devil can put stuff in your head. Well, he walked right by me and didn't even say nothing. And I think Brother Danny don't like me no more. And he used to ask me to do that. And now he never asked me to dismiss in prayer. He never asked me to do it. He never calls on me. Listen. I ain't got nothing against nobody in here. Amen? Really, I don't. And if I've done something to you, hurt you, sir, tell me. No, don't tell me. Just forgive me. I'm sorry. If you tell me, I'll get mad at you. Amen? I'm not Superman. I know people joke about that. Them girls, they go, oh, Brother Danny, you're Superman. You know, people told me years ago, they said, Brother Danny, you don't need nobody. You just keep on going no matter what. And that's true, but it's the Lord. Help me. I am not Superman. I need help. I need you. I do. I need you, folks. There has not been one pastor, not one, called me and congratulated us on getting a new building. How do you think that makes me feel? It don't. It hurts. It hurts, really. Because, I mean, you'd think in a town with this many churches, they'd say, brother, your building's beautiful. I'm glad God gave you the big victory. Praise God. But nothing. Not a word. Not a word. The only one that congratulates me is ones from way off from here that it's too far for their church members to drive to. Isn't that odd? I'm not Superman. I'm not. I mean, I'm a weak person if it ain't for the Lord. I'm like that guy. They said he thought he was real big and tough. He sat down on an airplane. He sat on an airplane like this, and the stewardess come up to him and said, sir, you're going to have to put your seatbelt on. He said, I'm Superman. She said, I don't care who you are. You got to put your seatbelt on. He said, I'm Superman. She said, I don't care who you are. You've got to have a seatbelt. He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. She said, Superman don't need no airplane. Amen. Ain't that right? He ain't Superman. I ain't neither. I need help. I need help. Amen? If we decide something, look, we've had to make some decisions that I didn't even agree with. And I made them. Because we was forced into it. I mean, there's sometimes you just got to do something. We've had to make some this week about them stupid cabinets under them sinks in the bathroom. Them things have been a pain in the neck, man. Ask Ron. Ask Brother James. Oh, Lord, I don't know who all worked on that mess. I mean, we've had a time with that. We had a time with some other stuff. And you know something? I begin to think, sometimes you just say, whatever. It don't matter who. What happens, let's just get something done. And you got to be flexible in church. Listen to me. You got to be flexible. You can't be so rigid. Like you can't do this in your marriage. If you do this in your marriage, anybody who's not flexible in their marriage is going to have a miserable marriage. Unless the man finally just shuts up and lets the woman completely run it. Both of you. You got to be flexible. It can't always be your way, either way, husband or wife. Not always. Amen? I mean, that's just common sense. It can't always be the husband's way. Can't always be the wife's way. You both got to give in a little bit. And that's the way it is in church. Sometimes you just got to go swallow it and say, oh, well, whatever. It ain't that important. Only thing that we're going to fight about, if it's Scripture. Now, if it's Scripture, brother, we'll go to war. Amen? But if it's what color something is or how big something is, just do something and let's get on with it for the glory of God. Amen? Yeah. Amen.
Praise God.
We was over talking the other day about some little flaws here and there in the building. I mean, we took a building that's already there, which means it ain't perfect. We got crooked walls. We got rooms that ain't square. But you'll never know it. You wouldn't have known it if I hadn't told you. Unless you're a carpenter or a builder. And he's found out some things. I said, brother, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Most of y'all sitting in here tonight never even noticed that light's out. It drives me nuts. But most of y'all never notice that. Most of you. See, stuff like that. Just, there's always something that aggravates. But if the light don't bother you, it's something else. It's something else. And what you got to do is figure out that thing that's bothering you and say, is this just the devil? And if it is, tell him to get away from you. If it's scriptural, then let's deal with it. But if it's just the devil putting something in your head, you better just plead the blood, because, buddy, he'll do it. He'll do it. Well, I'm going to say this and I'm through. What about the future? We're going to work. We're going to get people saved. We got Miss Kay and Brandon and all these that work in junior church, all you other ladies. We got a big, nice, beautiful junior church. Hopefully we're going to put this old sound system in the junior church where they can have microphones, piano, have a church service. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Amen. And we can have wedding receptions and baby showers in there, and it's really nice. Our church, weddings ain't that big of a deal, but we can have some beautiful weddings. Girls, when you get ready, I'm telling you, you talk about some beautiful ones. Amen. The main thing is, there's 60 million people, something like that, a year, die. Two people die every second. Two people die every second. I'll never forget here a while back when they brought me that newspaper. Somebody brought me the Morganton newspaper and said, Brother Danny, look. I said, what is it? And it was a little girl on the front page of the paper that had died 12 years old. And they said, look at her. I said, what are her? And it was little Valerie. Valerie is one of our bus kids. And she got the flu or something. And she either took too much cough syrup or the two medicines mixed together. So I don't know if they ever did figure out exactly what killed her. But that little girl died. And she came on their bus. And Valerie got saved. On your bus, right, Brother Junior? That little girl got saved. Valerie's in heaven right now. Right now. She's in heaven. She's not in hell. She's in heaven right now. Because of what God did through one of them old buses. And through these people willing to go out on Saturday. Willing to do without time, sleep, money, whatever. That's what we've got to do in the future. Look, I'm going to say this thing through. You know the devil's hitting this summer. This is going to be the wickedest summer we've ever seen. I say that every summer because it gets worse every year. And he's going to do everything he can to knock you out. You, your kids. Let's just determine that the Lord delivered us in the past. He's delivering us right now. And by His grace, He'll deliver us in the future.